During your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Blake and Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing, we have to control the border and more orderly flow, but I don't share his view at all.
So you regret using that word?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Katie, bar the door. Y'all, it's Monday.
Monday.
This is how we're starting off, are we? Okay, let's do this. I don't give a rat's ass what you call them. You break the law and you come here illegally and then you start murking people? Yeah, pretty sure I don't care about hurting your feelings. I'd rather use you. I want to use this dude as a speed bump. You know what I mean? Like, I want to put this guy in the empty spaces when you're bowling, like the little, what are they, gutters?
Yeah.
Yeah. Head first, or no, head first, so the ball hits his head first, and then let little kids bowl with him there in the gutters. Start there, and then, like, escalate it. See, first off, before we do the greetings and salutations, because it is I, Dana Lash, back from a week-long trek where I was resting my mind and getting bored out of my wits. But I really do think that a lot of our problems in this country would be solved in the next administration. And this is probably, I wouldn't accept a paycheck, but I really do think I should be involved, like the head of penalties, right? Like the minister of punishment. It is a key position, a very important position. I don't require underlings. I do not require a paycheck from the taxpayer because my payment comes in the joy that I would get from the suffering of evil people.
Joy from justice.
And it would swell my heart so. So I'm just saying, right, it's Kane, that is so astute of you. The joy of justice. I mean, they do both start with a J, do they not? Now, some people might say that that's a coincidence, but those people, those are non-believers. All right, so welcome to the program. Tis I, Dana Lash, and we are back together, top of this first hour. And so there were some things that happened over the weekend. For the love, can a girl go just take a few days when one of her kids has a spring break and take a break and the all hell not break loose? Is it possible? Just once.
Has it ever happened?
I know. Every single time the universe conspires against me. So we have more things to talk about than we have time today. And let's just get right into it. So first and foremost, the president is apologizing. What did he call that? What did he call Blake and Riley? He called her Lincoln, didn't he? I mean, that just seems like that's one of the things that you might want to get correct. When you're giving a speech, right? And I loved the spin that everyone had on this. But he's sitting here because the left attacked him. They attacked him. Yeah, so this was him. This is how it started. So we have how it ended up. But this is how it started. Audio soundbite 6. I want you to listen to this.
It's not about him. It's not about me. I'd be a winner. Not really. Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand.
My heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. Oh, wait, was Bo also killed by? I mean, how many ways is he going to kill Bo? How many ways does Bo die? Now he gets killed by an illegal immigrant? I mean, hell, he's been killed in tar pits, Iraq, Afghanistan, now by illegal immigrants. I mean, good grief. How many ways are you going to kill your kid, dude? So he says, well, did you hear how he put the emphasis on illegal? Now, that was old Biden. Yeah, no, wait. Old days of your Biden, because this is stuff that he used to say, right? He used to say those things. And so, you know, I mean, that's not super surprising. And so now we have, from this, audio soundbite 4, he goes back to that word illegal. Well, I mean, listen to how he defines it.
So do you regret using the word illegal to describe immigrants last night, sir?
Well, I don't regret it. Technically not supposed to be here.
He's technically not supposed to be here. So can I use that? Like, just say, and I'm not saying that I'm doing any of this, by the way. I'm not saying that any of this stuff is happening. But let's just say, you know, what if I wanted to get, you know, full auto and I didn't want to do the tax stamp and all that stuff? Can I just say, technically, it's not supposed to be here. Can I use that? I feel like I can. Look, whatever laws you don't want to follow, I'm going to pick some laws that I don't want to follow either. Except you might not like the laws that I pick to not follow. Yeah. So, because were it not for faith, you would desperately want those laws concerning me. And probably others too. So he's not supposed, technically not supposed to be here. Good night. It's like the Simpsons script. It's like the Simpsons wrote this. Yes,
Kate. Is that legal or illegal? Him technically not supposed to be here.
I really wish that the reporter would have followed up on that. Mr. President, so when you say that he is supposed to not be here, does that mean he is not here legally or illegally? Is he illegally not supposed to be here? He's not supposed to be here. By supposing he's not supposed to be here, are you supposing that's illegal, Mr. President? I would have just kept it till his mind exploded. I'd have just kept at it. Because at some point, I mean, it's all goes to noodles up there. It's just, you know, boop. So the State of the Union, which I did actually keep track of, I kept a watch on. Lorraine has a piece up about it, a chapter and verse as well. And I guess what do they dope him up with? Rage?
It was like 30% rage.
They doped him up with whatever squeakers masquerading as like, right wing and left wing Gen Zers, those annoying brats that are on they're fake accounts that are on social media. I guess whatever they're on, they doped him up with it because he went out there and it was basically like reading a comment section. Rabble, 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 rabble. I thought the Hamburglar makes more sense. Rabble, rabble, rabble. He goes out there just mad and then he messes up with that. He gets heckled by a Gold Star father. They throw the Gold Star father out. This was audio soundbite 9. He gets heckled. This guy lost his son. This is a disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. Listen to this.
All Americans deserve the freedom to be safe. And America is safer today than when I took office. Year before I took office, murder rates went up 30%. 30% they went up. The biggest increase in history. It was then, through my American Rescue Plan, which every American voted against, I'm at.
So that's, you're not supposed to do stuff like that there. That is for sure. But you know what? Can we just stop for a moment in the middle of you're not supposed to do that there? And can we acknowledge the fact that this guy's son is dead because of the man speaking? Joe Biden killed his son. That's the father of a 20-year-old Marine who was killed because of the Abbey Gate, the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. And I've talked to so many friends, people who were there, who had family there, and also people who served in our armed forces who also did training and et cetera there. All of our military members, they knew what was up. All those Marines knew what was up that day because they had seen this dude reportedly scoping out that gate. I mean, if you wanted to try to kill American soldiers, you would have done the withdrawal exactly like that. They went from Bagram Air Force Base, very well protected, not in the middle of the city center. Really good positioning. Tons of resources. Airfield, I mean Air Force Base, to the Hamid Karzai International Airport in Kabul, in the middle of hell. Chaotic, insane. It's like, I mean, imagine Manhattan with the worst rush hour and people running everywhere and chaos and terrorists embedded in, and that's what you got. Difficult to protect. And they knew that this guy and that the terrorists had been scoping out this gate. And apparently, one of the Marines had even warned the others. And so the officers knew. That's why you had hierarchy there in the Marines that were killed in this too, because they were where they were supposed to be. So it's understandable that this guy, this father, this Steve Nico, it's completely understandable that he was that upset. And honestly, I think they should have, I personally, I know that there's protocol, and I'm not even going to tickle the fancies of the protocol people. But I think he should have been shown a little bit of grace because, you know, if that's the worst that happens to you after you kill a guy's son and he heckles you while you're giving your speech, tears. You had Nancy Pelosi rip up stuff behind Trump when he spoke, so spare me. I mean, this father, those men and women stood there at the gate knowing death was coming for them. And they were told that, well, too bad. Nothing you can do about it. So it's completely understandable that he was that upset. Wouldn't you be? So the insanity of the State of the Union address, I mean, it with all of this, and like I said, we're going to get into all of this because we've got to talk about immigration. We've got to talk. Here's something else that I want to dive into. And this is going to be coming up later on in the hour. We also have Stephen Yates is going to be joining us. We're going to get into everything with culture and canceling because there's other stuff that's happened. Immigration, the border. Have you guys seen what's going on in Haiti? Their prime minister fled the country. And I'm not even exaggerating when I say this. And a literal cannibal gang has taken over the country. So one of the islands that we were at over the weekend, all of the people who were born and raised there are at the point where they were like talking about unrest because of the illegal Haitian immigrants that are taking over their island. And we're going to have a discussion about that coming up because that is actually something you need to watch.
New to the program, Field of Greens. Field of Greens isn't a supplement. It's a great way to get all of the dietary needs of all the vegetables and fruits that you're supposed to be eating in a day, and maybe you don't. It is a great way to get all of that taken care of in 1 8-ounce drink. Now, how it works is 8 ounces, because it's powdered, and it's superfruit and vegetables, right? All medically selected by doctors for specific health benefits, supporting your lungs, your kidneys, your metabolism, all that kind of stuff. 100% USDA organic fruits and vegetables, real superfood, not a supplement. So you can take 8 ounces, put it in preferably a healthy beverage, like water. You can add it to milk or non-dairy, fruit juice, club soda. You can make a smoothie out of it. They have tons of recipes on their website. 8 ounces is all it takes. One scoop, mix it with 8 ounces of liquid, and you're going to notice a difference. But if for whatever reason, like if Martians land, whatever, if you don't notice the difference, they have a 100% money-back guarantee. So to start, Field of Greens is going to give you 15% off your first order plus free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at fieldofgreens.com. Trust Field of Greens for better health.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So apparently the buy now, pay later, it's NBC says it's going from niche to normal because everybody's broke. And apparently younger people are using it for daily essentials. We're talking about baby millennials and Gen Zers. Apparently like groceries, everything from groceries to lawn furniture, everything. Consumers, actually they say 35 and under, but I saw another thing that said 30 and under, comprise 53% of buy now, pay later users. I know. And just 35% of traditional credit card. You remember layaway? Oh, yeah. Dude, my mom was like, yeah, she liked layaway. Is layaway still a thing?
I think some places still do it.
I always wonder that. Like now I was thinking of that when I was, They said apparel and accessories are the most popular product category. So basically stuff you can't afford. Yeah. If you don't got the cash to buy it, then don't buy it. And then don't complain that you don't got no money. I mean, we're talking about, look, apparel and accessories. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Let's be real. Apparently, this was just... Madonna's so cringe. What is she, like 90,000 years old? I mean, there's nothing wrong with being an older performer, but she just like, she's like falling around on stage. She's Joe Biden and everything up. She tried to shame a fan for not standing at her concert. But then to her horror, she realized the fan was in a wheelchair and actually couldn't physically stand. I know. That's what happens when you get high on your own farts. You do stuff like this. That's just, that's so cringe. I'm going to cringe right out of this chair. It's that bad. Oh my gosh. That's so bad. I don't even know what, this is the thing. A de-extinction company is claiming a stem cell breakthrough could produce a new pseudo-mammoth species. Okay, let's stop at the pseudo part. Because pseudo-mammoth, it could be like predator mammoth or alien mammoth or something that's going to kill us mammoth. Any one of those things. But they said that Colossal Biosciences, they have some plans. They're doing the development of pluripotential stem cells, and they're trying to make, and they're calling it a pseudo-mammoth. It's either a mammoth or it's not. That's not like, it's like saying pseudo-human, right? I don't know. That's just kind of scares me a little bit. I don't like pseudo-anything. Also, let's see. Ooh, Ohio women were charged. This is from Vegas Larry. Ohio women were charged with driving their roommate's dead body to a bank to withdraw money. NBC says that the two suspects were propping up a dude's dead body, Weekend at Bernie style, to go and withdraw the cash. 55-year-old woman, a 63-year-old woman, and the body of an 80-year-old dude. And they didn't identify him till later. But yeah, they got some money, but they ended up getting caught. Good heavens. Stay with us. A lot more on the way. Have you seen any of those viral videos, the ones that show aisles stacked with emergency food supplies in stores? It kind of makes you wonder, like, what do they know that you don't? Well, you already know how I feel about being prepared myself. So why bother with the hassle of stores, which you know just mark up all their prices when you can order directly and save? With Wise Food Storage, you're guaranteed access to delicious, high-quality food exactly when you need it the most. Visit wisefoodstorage.com and enter code Dana in the search bar to unlock exclusive deals just for you, like their current offer, the buy one, get one free on their 72-hour survival food kit. Not only that, but Wise Food Storage offers fast and free shipping on most orders. With their remarkable 25-year shelf life, these provisions will be ready for you whenever the need should arise. So instead of endlessly doom-scrolling through all the videos, wondering what catastrophe could be next, take action and secure your food supply today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in the search bar for exclusive deals. That's wisefoodstorage.com and use code Dana.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
I told him, baby, I'm a confess. Baby, you know I should come to church.
Sure, just...
I'm on a hot mic.
I'm on a hot mic. Hot mic expressions. That was Joe Biden. And you guys read about this Friday. He says, oh, I told Bibi, you and I are going to have a come to Jesus meeting. You know, Jewish Benjamin Netanyahu, the PM over at Israel. Joe Biden. Yeah. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, your lovable curmudgeon. Bottom of this first hour, you can listen coast to coast. You can listen on a terrestrial affiliate. You can stream the program, watching channel 347 DirecTV. We got a YouTube discussion, watch it Facebook, and apparently also now streaming on X, which I don't know. That's where they put us. Hi. So the come to Jesus meeting, I mean, you know, and he goes, I love, can we just play audio soundbite 31? Because it's his stutter, guys. I don't know. Come up with another dumb random excuse. Listen to how he was trying to excuse it.
You were caught on a hot mic after your State of the Union address talking to Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Senator Michael Bennett saying, quote, I told him, BB, and don't repeat this, but you and I are going to have a come to Jesus meeting. What do you mean by that?
What I meant was, it's an expression used in the southern part of my state, meaning a serious meeting.
Delaware.
And it was, I've known BB for 15 years. And he
as
knew
you know,
First off, I got to give this NBC reporter a little bit of credit because there's some golden sound bites that we got out of this interview. And I don't normally do this. I don't know who this cat is. I'm, you know, ambivalent about his glasses, but leaning towards a hard no. However, I do give him credit for asking these very tough questions, right? I mean, good on him for doing this. But he's like, but, you know, come to Jesus. It's an expression only found in Delaware. The great Delawareans, they say it often. Yes, just Delaware.
The place where it started? Is that where it...
It's where it all began.
It's where it's happening.
It's the fruit of the world, the basket, the fruit basket of the world, Delaware, planet Earth in the United States. It's where it all started. He's without... I really want to know how that excuse formed in his mind. It's an expression in southern Delaware. BB knew what I meant. Yes, I'm sure he knows who Jesus is. Joe, pretty sure you're talking to the Jewish prime minister. We're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. No, they got mad at Trump for eating a taco salad on Cinco de Mayo. You will give me this. It is mine. We're in an outrage off right now. It's an outrage off. Who can get more outraged? But that's so dumb. That is just why he opens himself up to everything. Can I just give you one more example? I know we were going to save this, but I can't. Audio soundbite one, s'il te plaît, because this is, well, it's just chef's kiss. Go ahead.
You promised Black America that you'd have our back. Do you feel you have our backs?
I have your back, and I'm not more, as much as any president has in American history since Lyndon Johnson.
Oh, wow. Okay, we can stop right there. So I had retweeted this on X with Barack Obama shrugging. It's a gif of Barack Obama just shrugging. Because, Kane, can you remind the listening and viewing audience who Joe Biden was VP under?
That would have been Barack Hussein Obama.
Okay, and ethnicity of former President Barack Obama came.
Well, he campaigned on being an African-American, Black man.
Yeah, but so did Bill Clinton and Joe Biden.
Yeah, actually, that
you
is
can,
true.
You can identify as anything you want. So we technically, we've had three Black presidents. Yeah. If you can, look, don't give me that. If you can... tape the Frankenbeans back and pretend, you know, Silence of the Lambs style that you're a chick, then they're all three Black. Get mad.
Dems de rules.
Dems de rules. That's correct, Kane. He says this stuff. Wait, you mean Lyndon B. Johnson, the guy who's literally quoted, again, another uncomfortable kind of quasi hot mic moment, saying that like running down Black Americans in the South and talking about voting for Democrats, that LBJ? Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't have liked him. I would have wanted to bully him. You know what I mean? Like, sidebar. So Lyndon B. Johnson, LBJ, apparently he was like, what, 6'2", 6'3". He was like a really tall dude. And he would, man or woman, and this was well known, and it was, I've read all these biographies on presidents, and then one I read on him. He would invade someone's personal space and just kind of tower over them on purpose as a way to intimidate them. That was a little tactic that he had. He sounded like a jack wagon. I would have stepped on him with a heel. Oh, I'm sorry. You're in my space. That's what happens when you get in my space. I spear your toe with my stiletto. That's what happens. I just think it's funny that he went to that well. I wonder if that's going to make Barack Obama upset. He's too busy, I think, paddleboarding off the by his house in Hawaii to pay attention. I don't think he really cares, but still. All right, so a few things. I want to make sure we have so many things to touch on because, again, I was out last week. I had a little bit of a, you know, we had the shrinkflation. He was talking about shrinkflation. So apparently Snickers got involved in this. Did you guys hear about this? Okay. So he was going on about Snickers. He actually said, quote, Snickers bars, you get charged the same amount and you got about, I don't know, about 10% fewer Snickers in it. Fewer Snickers. You've got fewer Snickers, Kane.
We're going to skip the grammatical lesson about using fewer and less, but, you know, fewer Snickers, fewer as if it's, you know, you can actually count it. It's a, you know, it's innumerable. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Less as if it's, you know, not totally quantifiable. So he has he could have said less, and we didn't skip the lesson. Anyway.
Commercial on Snickers bars. You get charged the same amount, and you got about, I don't know, 10% fewer Snickers in it.
10% fewer Snickers in it.
Look.
Did he measure this? So Snickers got mad. I don't even under 10% fewer Snickers. That's what the other, if I was the other candy bar company, I would totally use that line and be like, well, this candy bar has 10% fewer candy bar in it. All your base belong to us. That's 10% fewer Snickers. So they said, no, I mean, he was talking about this before he mentioned the border. Yeah. So you can tell what's more important to this dude, his ice cream and candy. But so anyway, like I said, the Snickers people, they said, no, we had, quote, not reduced the size of the Snickers singles or share sizes, despite having to face inflation and spikes in material costs. That was basically them saying, because of your stupid economic policies. And they said that, quote, final prices are always at the discretion of the retailer and not, you know, the president. And they were trying to minimize costs. But then it's a limit because stores don't want to inflate prices themselves because then they hurt themselves with their competitors. So he basically smeared the Snickers people. Where's Big Candy? I'm surprised he didn't get into that. Big Candy's inflating your price. You got fewer candy bar in it. That's Big Candy. Big Candy sounds like an extra that was cut from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Anyway, yeah, it does, right? So then we also had the tax lies. Biden's tax lies. Because he did. He was lying about it. The moment that I saw that they were going to go after, the wealthy people, and we're going after businesses and all this other stuff. That's the same old thing that they bring out every single year, but their policies actually benefit that in some respects, that demo. And then people who are like Bill Gates rich and Barack Obama rich and even Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden rich, they don't care. They can absorb the cost of higher taxes because that's basically the economic indulgence that they have to pay in order to they're buying a virtue. A fake virtue, a newly manufactured virtue. Look, we care about the poor and we believe in, quote, paying our fair share, but not enough to actually write a check voluntarily to the Treasury. We have to, you know, be taxed. Everybody's got to be taxed in order for us to do our part. So he was saying that essentially going in, talking about, he wants to tax not, he was talking about not income. He was touching on taxing your wealth. Like your accumulated income, not what you're making just in the year. There's a major difference here. He's talking about taxing your wealth, not just your income. And you can't do that without amending the Constitution of the United States. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1, quote, the Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, excises, pay debts, and provide for common defense and general welfare of the United States. But all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. Now, the legal eagles are getting out there saying you have the classifications of taxation, which are direct taxes, indirect taxes, and this was over at the constitutioncenter.org, right? They had a really good write-up about this. Indirect taxes and then income taxes like on people as opposed to taxing an entity like a business or a group or something like that. And the direct taxes, and Red State had a piece on 16th Amendment and direct taxes. The Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever source derived without apportionment among several states and without regard to any census or enumeration. So anything else, if you're looking at implementing a wealth tax, that has to be, again, apportioned So it has to be proportional to each state's respective population. And it's a direct tax on individuals and it's not uniform. And wealth per state varies. So you cannot actually implement anything that he's talking about without a major change to the United States Constitution. Which they have no intention of doing, by the way. But they want to go out and they want to basically give pigeon feed to all the pigeons that are their base. That's what this says. That was, it's nothing more than that. And people were eating it up. Good heavens. All right, we got to talk about some of the GOP stuff. Can we discuss the Wine Mom State of the Union response? I had tweeted about it. This will be coming up. We might have to do it in our second hour. Because I said the GOP response should not mirror that of a Midol commercial. And it's true. Especially when I've seen clips of this lawmaker speaking so sensibly. I cannot stand fake. I can't stand contrived dramatics. It's almost redundant to say that, but then it's kind of my point, right? I can't stand it. It's so manufactured and contrived. And I mean, unless you were getting an award at that thing that they had in Hollywood last night, you shouldn't be doing it, right? It just looks bad. So we're going to touch on that response. We got to talk about the changes at the RNC. We have to also have to talk about the big giant bill that Republicans passed, which then also undercuts the severity of tone from the GOP response to the State of the Union. Because how are you going to be mad at all that stuff that you just listed, but then y'all voted for this to continue funding it? So we're going to have that conversation as well. We're all about making friends today on the Dana Show now that we're back from the short vacation. As we move, ladies and gents, our proud partners for this portion of our show. It's our friends over at Gold Co. Because really, this is what everything should be based on. The gold IRA field can seem confusing. There are a lot of things out there. It's a little saturated. Finding a precious metals company you can trust, however, isn't easy. And that's where you winnow the field down. So this is why I turned to Gold Co. Everybody knows what we're just talking about. Government spending, printing more money, exactly how we get inflation. Add gold and silver as a hedge against inflation. And use Gold Co. They have a free 2024 gold kit, and you can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver. One of their priority, actually their top priority, is education first. And they have very thorough information. It's this one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers. It's going to explain the economy, how gold IRAs work, and they want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. This is a very important part of your overall retirement and saving strategy. No pressure. Unmatched customer service, zero complaints. Ask about that highest buyback guarantee that they offer as well. And protect your family's financial future and freedom. Get started today at DanaLikesGold.com and get your free gold kit from Gold Co. Learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The days of the United States.
It doesn't seem to matter what I do. I'm always number two. No one knows how hard I try.
Ryan Gosling. No, it's worth it. Performing the I'm Just Ken. This is literally the only part of the Oscars that I watched. Because, as I said, I only did it to watch him perform because the Broad Brigade, they were all butthurt over him getting an Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actor. And all the chicks had been left hanging out of the Barbie movie. And dude, Slash came out. Not just Slash, but Wolfgang Van Halen came out and they soloed. Yeah. I didn't watch it really at all before, and I definitely didn't watch it after, but yeah, I had to watch it because, I mean, that was actually, I did not have Slash and Barbie in the same reality on my bingo card for this year, but right there it is. I mean, he literally came out, Slash came out in solo, And then all of a sudden, there's Wolfgang Van Halen. And I think they should have invented a Best Oscars Live Performance category and then given them a little gold man. So, now, you know what? I had to watch the Barbie movie. I literally did not finish it. Because, you know, sometimes that's part of the job, right? Part of the job, because everybody's talking about it. Everybody, I mean, there was so much stuff raging chlamydia-like all over social media. Everyone was so outraged over Barbie. So I literally could not make it through the film. And I'm using literally correctly. Just said it three times. So I glossed over it on air, but the Barbie movie, and we can take that audio out. The Barbie movie, the writing was so bad. Greta Gerwig's writing, I thought, and direction was so bad. They didn't know if they made a feminist statement or not. That's how bad this was. I mean, she was so confused as hell to write a girl power yay manifesto script that she like deuced all over her own third wave premise and made Ken and all of the other Kens actually look like the good guy. See, because we're not supposed to talk about how third wave ironically took a benign male avatar created as a supporting role for a girl's toy and role playing and spitefully reduced him to a second class citizen in a movie that was supposed to build women up by tearing men down. There's the irony in it. So you can see why they were all angry that Ryan Gosling got a nomination and not all the copy-paste repeat feminist characters in their movie. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. It's the only reason I watched it. And then I was rewarded for that because Slash came out on stage. So that was actually kind of cool. Thanks, dudes, for making it a bit enjoyable for a second there. Another hour on the way. Stay with us. Our friends over at Hillsdale College. This is a wonderful academic institution, and they are dedicated to merit and character. They don't care about identity politics. And if you are unfamiliar with Hillsdale, first off, if you got a kid who's going to be going off to college and they're not applying to Hillsdale, you're not doing your job as a parent. That's not in the talking points, but I'm saying it. So here's the thing with Hillsdale. This is a great small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan. And they're all about the pursuit of truth and defense of liberty. They were founded in 1844 to do just that, to push back on this illiteracy epidemic of where our rights come from and the purpose and principle of our republic. And that's why the folks at Hillsdale College, they produce all of these free online courses. Now, they have a new one. It's a course on the very topic called American Citizenship and Its Decline. And it's not exactly what you may think. I mean, it gives into citizenship. It also is the American citizenship and civic pride. Sign up for this free online course, American Citizenship and Its Decline, at Dana4FORHillsdale.com. Now, it's taught by my friend Victor Davis Hanson. And it looks at the history of citizenship, and it explains like how in America right now it's undermined, not just by open borders, not just by globalization and the administrative state, but also identity politics. And so you can sign up for Hillsdale's free online course, American Citizenship and Its Decline, by visiting Dana4FORHillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Start your free course today.
I'm Pennsylvania. I have a message for you. Send me to Congress that I can support this right, and I promise you, if we take back Congress, we will restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land.
Yes, send him to Congress, Pennsylvania. Vote Joe Biden for Congress on the ballot. Write it in just to be doubly sure, and, you know, for Congress.
It's just a stutter, Dana.
Stop the fewer Snickers. Biden for Congress. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lesher with you, top of the second hour. That's his campaign, Kane. Do you want more of the Snickers? Stop fewer Snickers. Biden for Congress. Let's make an ad. Let's make a note. I'm making a note. An ad. We need an ad of that.
Hungry for me in Congress?
Yeah. Are you hungry for...
Have a 10% fewer Snickers.
Have a more Snickers. Oh my gosh, that's too easy. Can we just do this the rest of the show?
I wish.
We got a lot of stuff to cover. So, yes, I'm back from my week-long adventure. I had a kid that had spring break, and so I took a week of rest and Now I'm back and I'm overly caffeinated. Thank you, Black Rifle Coffee. Overly caffeinated and rested, and it's very dangerous. And I was trying to behave while I was out. I really was. And I was trying not to be mean on the internet. I think I partially succeeded, Kane.
Yeah.
You know, like there's 10% fewer Snickers. I was 10% fewer meaner. Oh. So same thing. All right. So I'm double checking over everything that we have, because while I was out, so let me talk about this, because we've been talking about immigration. I don't know if you guys have seen this. The prime minister just like fled Haiti. He fled Haiti, and I guess the guy in charge is the checks notes leader of a cannibalistic gang. You guys heard about this? Yeah, like he's actually the leader of a cannibal, goes by the name of Barbecue. I'm not joking. For somebody who eats people, he looks rather thinly. But anyway, so this gang, they ran out the prime minister. Haiti's apparently going hungry. They had to send over the Marines to evacuate embassy personnel. Anthony Blinken is headed to Jamaica. They're going to have crisis talks with other Caribbean leaders. So the guy who is known as Barbecue, who is on video apparently eating finger meat, not joking, this is what's happening. He's apparently in charge now. Ariel Henry has left. They wanted him to resign. He left. Chaos has just engulfed Port-au-Prince. And his actual name is Jimmy Cherizier, and he is known as Barbecue. And the airport came under attack. Dominican Republic would not allow this dude to land. Smart on DR, because why would they want that? And he was supposed to step down last month, and then they had armed criminal gangs that had, it was like a coup. They launched this assault to remove him from office. And Haiti's a failed state. I don't know why some are now suggesting that it is. No, it is. It is. So just absolute chaos. Absolute chaos. Dead bodies in the streets. It's horrible. Now, the place that I went to, and I hadn't been there since 2019, was Turks and Caicos. And we haven't been since 2019, because they were one of the strictest islands in the Caribbean on the vaccine mandate. All this is going to come together in a moment, so bear with me. They demanded that you had the vaccine, but not just the vaccine. You had to have every single shot that was available. You had to download their government app, upload all of that stuff, tons of stuff. And they absolutely refused to acknowledge natural immunity. They didn't care if you had it. They didn't care if you had it once before. They didn't care if you had it twice before. They didn't care if you just got over it and probably had all these, you know, good antibodies in your... They didn't care, because you had to get the injection that wasn't actually vaccinating you against anything. And so we didn't go. We were like, one finger salute, bye. And so they finally removed it last year. And we went and... When we were there in 2019, I was on the beach and I saw, I think it's called a sloop, one of those long ships, and I could see it in the distance. And every nation, every island has, you know, an element of crime, but there wasn't a lot there. Like maybe, you know, a couple times a year, somebody would be, you know, shot and killed. Somebody would smuggle in a gun or something. But they had a pretty good security presence where we stayed. And, you know, when you go out, you go during the day and you're just smart. You know, you yellow level advisory with situational awareness. And I'd never seen this before. I was on the beach and I was standing there having a rum punch. And legit out of the shrubbery and bushes and everything else came like actual, fully kitted out riot gear, full auto. I can't remember the platform they were rocking. I'd never seen anything like that before there. And I was watching them, and all of a sudden there were like 30 of these dudes that stepped out all kitted up. And we were in Providencialis on Grace Bay. And I'm sitting there watching all this, and some of the other people are getting real nervous on the beach because they see this. And And I walked up to one of the dudes and I said, hey, you know, what's happening here? And he was like, ma'am, no need to worry. You know, this is, we're just, you know, no need to worry. Just, you know, go ahead and go back. I said, look, I'm not scared that y'all are here with us. I actually feel a little bit better. I said, I'm just wanting to know if it has anything to do with that ship out there. And he was like, yep. And he pointed out to the horizon and he goes, we got reports from local fishermen that there are anywhere from 40 to 50 illegal immigrants from Haiti on that boat. And he says, normally they do this at night, but they're trying to dock over here and enter illegally. I was like, wow. And we watched and, I thanked him for, kind of keeping an eye on stuff. And I felt better. And sure enough, maybe like 20, 30 minutes later, that boat came in and they started arresting all those people on that boat. And there were, from what we could see, at least 40. And that boat, as it got closer, was jam-packed full of people. And the next day, we had rented a boat. And we were going out fishing. And we were talking to the captain of the boat, and I brought that up. And he was like, oh, yeah. He's like, the local fishermen, the native population of Turks and Caicos, they keep an eye out for all this stuff. Because they said, and this was 2019, and he goes, we're having a real problem now with people coming in illegally from Haiti. And they went off on illegal immigration. And they were saying, we have only so many resources. We have, our economy can only handle so much. You know, like for instance, to dive for conch there, you have to be native born and you have to live there in order to even get the license to dive, because they don't want everybody to run out of conch. And it's actually, the conch salad is amazing. Don't you dare edit that audio. I'll kill y'all. And, he goes, yeah, in the United States, he goes, I don't know what and he volunteered this. He's like, I don't know what the hell you people are doing in the United States. He's like, y'all are going to get, he's like, you guys are going to get overrun. He's like, you have to be as alert as we are out here in our waters. And all the locals have like this little network. So fast forward to last week and we're there and, talking to a guy, that we had used as our driver. And, get us from the airport and all this stuff. And it was a company that we'd worked with before. And the guy apologized. He's like, oh, I was supposed to get you from the airport. And he was taking us back. And he's like, I was supposed to get you. And he's like, I had to go to a funeral. And we said, oh, we're so sorry to hear that. That's a shame. We're really sorry. And he's like, yeah, he's like, it was my cousin who was killed by a stray bullet. We're like, what? And he said, yeah. He goes, I don't know if you all are aware of this, but since the pandemic, the problem with illegal immigration from Haiti is now chaotic. He said it's a crisis. He said they spend over their little country with their little economy, over $20 million a year sending, like repatriating them back to Haiti. And he said they're smuggling in all kinds of weapons, drugs. So what happened is his cousin was in his apartment upstairs. There was an illegal immigrant Haitian drug dealer below. Another Haitian gang member, apparently there was a drug deal that went sour and the guy started firing wildly. The guy upstairs came out to see what was happening, was shot and killed. Straight bullet. Three people dead from that. And he said people are getting shot and killed every week now. And now they're estimating at least the illegal immigration population from Haiti is like double that of the actual native population of Turks and Caicos. And he said it's chaos, and he said a lot of people are feeling very unrestful. The illegal immigration problem from Haiti is ruining Turks and Caicos. And that's just one example. I don't even know about the other islands that I have not visited and heard from their local populations. And you see what's happening in Haiti now. It's always been a failed state. Even back when the Clintons were collecting money saying they were going to go help Haiti, as Kane noted, and they didn't actually help Haiti. It's been a failed state for a long time. And now it's even more. They had 4,000 inmates that were released, that they just let out from the main prison, fighting in the streets. Some of the pictures that I've seen, they're just dead bodies in the road. I saw a photo of a woman literally pushing her son's face to the side, walking past the dead body so the kid didn't look at it. And there are shops on either side. Like, it's like a, you can tell it's like a main commercial area. And it is disastrous, absolutely disastrous. And this is, I mean, I don't, Kane, do you remember a time when Haiti wasn't dealing with us? No. I don't remember a time.
No. It's almost like they kept it in that condition so that they could continue to use it as the magnet for more money generation in this in these charity efforts.
Yeah.
It's, at least in hindsight, that's what it's looking like.
I mean, it's, it is, I mean, it's just crazy to see this. And what gets me, look at this. You have this island where you have Haiti on one side, Dominican Republic on the other. Now look at the differences. I mean, Dominican Republic, they've been developing. They are shorelines. They have resorts. They have excursions. It's a big, I mean, tourism is a huge industry there. You don't hear people talking about, oh, I want to go vacation in Haiti. You mean run by now the cannibal gang? Yeah. It comes down to government. And I love the leftist spin about all this. Well, it's because colonialism, shut up. It's because they have tyrants running Haiti and Dominican Republic. They have a more open government. It comes down to how you're governed. You could sit here and try to do all this identity politics stuff to excuse the failure of your policies that have created a failed state, but ultimately it doesn't hold water. But it's just wild to see that. Now, here's my question. And I want to ask this of Stephen Yates. He's going to join us later. Is there going to be a domino effect with other nations in this region? I mean, when our Marines are evacuating embassy staff, that's a big deal. And they say that now looting, there's food shortages, and they're saying that it's going to get worse. So there's a lot. The other things that we're watching here today, and we're going to talk about this. I don't know if you guys have seen some of the video. We're running out of time here, but we're going to talk about Law and Order coming up, and we're going to talk about culture, because there were some morons on social media, and it became this huge point of discussion. The whole trad right stuff, I think, is like manufactured accounts trying to engagement farm, and they play in identity politics, which is anti everything they claim to stand for. But they got mad at this Alabama woman, and they said her accent should be illegal. And then they started attacking tomboys. Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative cell phone service that's out there. So if you don't want to fund the things that you vote against every single time you go to the ballot box, you need to be switching up your service, because they offer dependable nationwide coverage in all three major networks. You're getting the best service in your area, but you're not funding the commies. And when you switch, you're doing a couple of things. First off, yes, you're saving money. But secondly, you're also supporting a 100% U.S.-based crew. Their whole customer service team is Texas-based, and they make it so easy to switch, and you're not going to wait on hold for, you know, 11,000 years. It's super quick. Keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade. The choice is yours, and take advantage of that free activation using code Dana. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, you know, busting the myth of world hunger. Obesity is a greater risk to global health than hunger. 1 billion people are too fat across the country. I'm not saying that I don't do the shame. I don't buy into the whole whining about shaming, because you either want to be healthy and you understand that people, when they talk about this stuff, are motivated out of a position of wanting you to be healthier, or you want to be a victim and you want to, I don't know, like glorify yourself with your overindulgent sin and, you know, just go ahead and be miserable and be victim and claim victimhood so you don't have to be held to account. I don't play into that. Obesity rates amongst youngsters quadrupled globally between 1990 and 2022. The U.S. isn't even number one. We're only 10th. Highest for men, 36th. Highest for women in the world. Interestingly enough, Saudi Arabia's, like, they said that over, like, 70% are overweight or obese. Only 67% in the U.S. Saudi Arabia is like one of the worst. Australia, 65%. Let's see, in Turkey, 67%. But yeah, Saudi Arabia is like one of the worst. I don't know why, but I just didn't, you know, that's kind of interesting. Also, let's see what we have here. Oh, in Chernobyl, the worms apparently, well, they've got a superpower. They're immune to radiation now. The worms in Chernobyl, they said, are immune to radiation. That's nasty. 6 hours of sleep actually can encourage the development of type 2 diabetes. According to a new study, experts found that those who slept between 3 and 4 hours had a 41% higher risk
You need to try to get 8 hours of sleep. It is incredibly important. This is also crazy. Mitch McConnell's sister-in-law, I was reading about how she perished. She apparently accidentally backed her Tesla into a pond and drowned because rescuers could not break the unbreakable glass. That is the windshield of her Tesla. That's horrible. And CrossFit is out. Apparently, low-impact workouts are in. Oh, look at that. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Our partners that help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Black Rifle Coffee. I am super caffeinated. Where I was for the past week didn't have good coffee. So I came back and I'm like, you know, trying to make up for it. They really do have the absolute best coffee out there. Black Rifle Coffee, veteran-owned coffee company. And they have the best roasts ever. And you need to join the coffee club, the Black Rifle Coffee Club. So like right now, you can get whatever. I mean, you can get anytime, get 30% off your subscription order with code Dana. Select your favorite brew, have it delivered fresh to your door. You choose the schedule, no shipping fees. And right now, because, you know, we have St. Patty's Day coming up, they have an Irish cream medium roast and it tastes like a leprechaun's roundhouse kick to your neck. It's amazing. I mean, I don't know what that would taste like, but it would probably taste pretty good and wake you up. Oh, pot of gold. So if you don't want bland, mediocre coffee, get your coffee delivered right to your door with the Black Rifle Coffee Club and check out their new, their Fool's Gold Irish Cream Medium Roast. It's delicious. The AK-47 Espresso, the Tacta Squatch, it's one of my go-tos. Thin Blue Line Medium Roast that celebrates our law enforcement. And you can, again, get 30% off using code Dana. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Join that coffee club. 30% off your first month. Code Dana. Save money. Free shipping. blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Y'all ever wondered what a 500-foot roll of inch and a quarter pecs looks like?
With them cicadas.
And you want to know how fun it is to unroll this mess? Not very. Especially when it's, 100 freaking degrees out here in South Alabama. But at least the heat will help it straighten out. Appreciate y'all.
So I don't even know. I don't even know who this chick is. Her name is Hannah. And she's Hannah Barron. She's, on TikTok. And she's helping to build a house. Her house, her own house on TikTok. She doesn't have a Twitter account. And, she's a hard worker. She's pretty. She's young. She has a shirt that has a rifle on it in one of the videos. So I know she sports 2A. And for some reason, some of these they call themselves trad right. I think that they're fake accounts that are manufactured. It's a psyop to divide the right. I really do believe this. And then one of the things that went viral was some chick from Lebanon who apparently cosplays as an American conservative. I don't know. And I'm not going to make her famous. But she went off on this Hannah chick and American women. She said, quote, "This accent needs to be illegal and women should be banned from doing manual labor like this. There is nothing feminine about American women. American women are literally men." So I took a look at this lady's Twitter account, the lady who was criticizing Hannah. And she's one of those who her eyebrows are gradients. She does the contouring and she wears so much makeup. She looks kind of like a lunchtime drag queen. And I had said on Twitter, I wrote, "I'm not listening to engagement criticism about Southern women's accents from any female who wears enough pancake makeup to run her own printing press with just her face and a stack of clean pillowcases." Which is true. If I have to do a neck check on you, girl, then you don't need to be talking about anybody else's femininity. There is too much. My grandmother always said, and I know that this is a statement, a quote that she didn't make up, but she just repeated it. Makeup should be a secret between a woman and her mirror.
she shouldn't be an entire palette from Sephora. She didn't add the Sephora part, I did. I mean, we should not know that you did a gradient on your eyebrows, right? You should not be wearing so much rouge on your cheeks that I can probably do like a sample of it, take it to Sephora, and they could paint match it like they could at Home Depot. Shouldn't have to do that. And for anyone who has never heard Southern women speak, especially if you're from Southern Alabama, that's how Southern Alabama people speak. And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, I'm sorry that you don't look like you have enough arm muscles to like even butter toast. But, you know, that doesn't mean that a woman who can help build her own house is somehow unfeminine. I want to know who these jackwagons are that they think that they have the patent on defining who is or who is not feminine. Because I will tell you one thing that I see all these other engagement clout chasers who are running down this Hannah Baron. One thing that they lack that she doesn't, and it is a very important qualification for ladies and femininity, and that is class. I found that absolutely fascinating, that whole thing. And I just, it amazes me that that became like a huge debate over the weekend, end of last week and this weekend. And why are we taking, I'm sorry, a foreigner? A foreign woman's, who not, I don't even think is a citizen, probably can't even vote here. Your opinion on American women? Let's see. I don't have to ask my husband permission to own a firearm. I don't have to cover up the beauty that God created on me. I don't have to do any of that stuff. So I think maybe, you know, do a self-check along with a neck check. One of the other things over the weekend that trended. Kane, did you see this video out of Hazelwood? It is hard. It was a hard video to watch. And I guess I just have it in my settings on X where it like auto played. It's one of those things that auto played. But let me set it up for you. It's a video of, and this was Fox 2. It was a fight that happened near Hazelwood East High School. Now, you weren't at Hazelwood East. Where did you go to school at?
I went to Riverview Gardens.
Okay, Riverview Gardens. So it ended up in one teenage girl being hospitalized in critical condition. And the other teenage girl apparently is being held in St. Louis County Family Court. And it was a fight on Friday. And officers received word of a fight in progress just after 2:30 p.m. on Friday. They arrived to find one teenage girl suffering from a severe head injury. She was taken to the hospital in critical condition. They arrested a 15-year-old girl. She's being held on assault charges, but I think she needs to be held on attempted murder. And the video, which I did repost, at one point, it's a group of people who attacked this girl. I'm not getting into the racial politics of it. I don't know what it, for. I know for the left, it's important. It was a white girl that was attacked, and it was a black antagonist. But for, let's just put the race, I know, but well, listen to me, please, because I have watched about a million other videos over the weekend, just over the weekend, of two teenage white dudes beating the hell out of an old man. And nobody intervened.
Mm-hmm. They filmed it, though.
Yeah, they filmed it. This is a youth problem, first and foremost, because I'm seeing too many of every type of everything doing this. And with this particular instance, I don't even need to know context. I don't care. I don't care who did what, except for what's in this video. At one point, the victim, she gets overtaken and she falls down. Her attacker gets like, you know, full mount, takes her head, bashes her head into the concrete road, not lightly. Like you are using a weight ball in the gym, slamming her head on the ground. And then at one point, another girl intervenes, just for everybody, for the left. A black girl tries to stop the other black girl from attacking her. And she intervenes, knocks the attacker off. And as the video goes up, you could see the victim twitching and convulsing on the ground. It is, that's attempted murder. I don't care that this girl's 15. And I think the girl is still apparently in the hospital. There was some bad reporting that said she had passed. I have not found confirmation of that. The only thing from, and this is in St. Louis, is our hometown. The only thing that local media said is that the victim is in critical condition, is in the hospital. Nobody intervened except for that one girl. And as soon as she did, man, other people came in to try to go at her. Everybody's filming it. Just like the video I saw of two, they look like, did you see, Kane, the video of the two dudes attacking the old man? It looked like it was outside of a supermarket. How old do you think those dudes are? Because one of those dudes, I could have snapped his twig legs and beat him to death with them.
Like 15, 18.
Guy had a walker. Oldest. They knocked this dude down on the ground, kicked him, took his walker, threw it.
Yeah, then got on top of him and started hitting.
Nobody intervened. People were filming it, though. This is like a Black Mirror episode. People were filming it. Nobody intervened. If this victim in the Hazelwood East attack dies, I think that the 15-year-old victim should get the chair or lethal injection or firing squad. I think she should be put to death. Absolutely. That attack on that victim, there is nothing. And I want to point this out for the people who would get mad at me for saying that. These are the people who got mad, who get mad if someone uses a firearm in self-defense because they're being attacked. Oh, how dare you attack the, yeah, how dare you defend yourself using the, but you're going to, they would defend the, it's amazing to me. So this victim, I mean, you can see in the video, and it is so hardcore. We didn't even really want to put it up. It's that bad. When the camera pans away, if you desperately want to see it, I have reposted it on my Twitter account, X account. At one point when the camera pans away and you saw that, Kane, that girl's convulsing. She is twitching and convulsing. Her arm is all twisted up and she is just jerking. It looked like she was having a seizure. And because she has a severe head injury. Even if she recovers, she's never going to be the same. You do not get your head repeatedly bashed like she was trying to crack her skull open. That is murderous intent. And apparently, I would say it's premeditated murder because the parents of the victim, according to local coverage, had called the school and were saying that they were worried for their daughter's safety because this bully had said that she was going to attack her after school. She was going to beat her up after school. So, I mean, you could sit here and say that, well, she didn't mean to kill her. Nah, hell, you do not get that. You do not get that courtesy after you are recorded grabbing someone's head with your hands and bashing it on the ground. They have stopped attacking you. They are only barely trying to defend themselves because they have been beaten by. And I think the other people also should be charged. I think they should also be charged. Some of them, anyone who put a hit in on that girl should be charged. Maybe it's a manslaughter charge, maybe not murder one like the main girl, but somebody, they should all get serious felony charges because it is so bad. There has to be hardcore penalties for this. There are too many of these videos and incidents. Every damn day I see a brand new video. Every day I see a new video. I'm not exaggerating. And there's so much of them. It's almost like it's become part of a digital culture, right? There are whole social media accounts on like Instagram and Twitter and every, I don't think on Facebook, maybe on Facebook, I've never looked, where they showcase this. These kind of conflicts. I mean, the way that this chick's head was bashed on the road, there wasn't a mass attempt to stop it. All those people there enable that evil. Don't you think it's a murder charge? I think it's a murder charge.
Oh, it has to be. That was extremely violent.
I mean, when the person you're fighting is no longer defending themselves, if you pursue someone with a gun after you defend yourself lawfully with a firearm and then they turn and flee, if you chase them, you can get, and you hurt them, you can get charged with a felony. Why would it not be for this instance?
You're right. And it should be.
What would you do if that was your kid that was being attacked like that?
First of all, my kid wouldn't be out there in that mess.
I would have shown up at the school. If I thought my kid was going to get attacked, I'd have shown up at the school.
Yeah, police are overtaxed. There's too much for them to do.
I'll tell you this. We had an incident one time with one of our children, and our kids can defend themselves. And our child did defend themselves. And the school, and against two bullies, to the point where the bully's parents got mad, and me being me, I lawyered up and I was like, you want to play this game? I will ruin your life. I'm like, we'll get you on attempted assault. We'll get you on all this stuff. You really want to sit here and try pull rank on me? We will do this all damn day. And I told the school, I said, if my child's punished for defending themselves, I will take my child to Six Flags. I will celebrate my child, and I will make sure that this is not a penalty, because a child should have this is playground rules. Your kid's a bully. Your kid may get their ass beat. And if you want to be the butthurt parent about it, instead of letting your child eat some humble pie, what a lesson, by the way. If you're enabling your bully kid, you're going to set your kid up to be a thug later in life. Well, it went away after I got really ignorant. They stopped, and I said the bullies should be punished. If you're going to punish anybody, bully the kids who started this and thought it would be cool to like jump a kid. And then they were shocked when they got their butts handed to them and they were defended against. Yeah, you're not going to be pulling this stuff with me, huh? So that went away real quick, because that's not going to happen. And I feel bad. I don't know the situation with this victim. I don't know if her parents couldn't go to the school. I don't know what the situation was, but I will say my kid would not have. I'm not blaming the parents. The school has culpability here, especially when they were notified. But I also think if that was my kid, oh my gosh, she wouldn't have been on that road. And this probably would have ended differently.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Why do we got to start with this nastiness? Now, so I'm a little bit of a hypochondriac, a little bit. I'm less so after the pandemic, interestingly enough. But I read something like this, and a Florida man complaining of migraines. Apparently, there was a reason. And it wasn't because, he's dehydrated or had, a nerve issue or anything like that. It all started because he ate a little undercooked bacon. Now I'm like, wait, how do you eat? This is why you should almost burn it. I want to snap it. I want it to have the texture and consistency of a credit card. And if bacon does not have that, no. We don't do medium rare with bacon. And here's why. This guy got a bizarre tapeworm infestation in his brain because he ate undercooked bacon. 52-year-old Florida man. He had severe migraines. And they did a scan on him, and they found that he had neurocytosis, worms in the brain, and you could see it. And they said this stuff is preventable, and it's nasty, and the AI images are really gross. Stay with us. We have third hour on the way. Stephen Yates joins us, too.
Now, you should have said undocumented, but that's not a big thing, okay? What's the big thing about
I actually wasn't even going to ask about that. I was just going to ask more about the moment. But you do think that he should have said undocumented? That wasn't going to be my question.
Well, we usually say undocumented. Uh-huh.
I mean, he shouldn't have said that. That's Nancy Pelosi, who, after State of the Union, was criticizing Joe Biden for using the word illegal, which this story keeps getting weirder and weirder the way that they keep spinning it, because now the White House is saying that Biden didn't apologize. What? First off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, back from a week break. Good to be with you. I missed you. And you can listen to the radio program terrestrially in a station in your market. We're coast to coast. You can stream it. You can watch the simulcast, the video component of the radio program on Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, where good discussion always happens, Facebook, and also on X. You can stream it there too. So they're saying now, and that's a real thing, they're saying that Biden didn't apologize. So they criticized him because he said illegal, describing the murderer of Miss Riley in his State of the Union address. He called her Lincoln, too. He didn't even, did he get her last name right?
I think so.
Lincoln. Oh, my gosh. And then he turned around and we play that audio of him saying, well, you know, let's just play part of five, because now the White House is saying this didn't happen. I'm so confused.
But during your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lake and Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look,
okay,
when
so
I spoke
does that,
about,
Kane, does that sound like an apology to you?
I didn't hear sorry or anything.
Wait, what?
I mean, he didn't say sorry.
He's saying that I shouldn't have used that.
Yeah, I should have said undocumented, but that's not exactly.
So the White House is saying he didn't apologize for calling Lake and Riley's murderer an illegal. I mean,
yeah, I guess
this interview was it was yesterday.
It aired yesterday.
Has it even been 24 hours?
No.
He was on MSNBC. This was an interview with MSNBC yesterday, and he was asked about this. And he said, quote, I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And then the White House said, this is their phrase, Biden absolutely did not apologize, quote, unquote.
I mean, technically he didn't say sorry, but he admitted that he should have used a different word. So what are we doing? Splitting hairs here now? Is that what we're doing?
Because now they don't want to hurt him with the Democrats who are like, what's happening at the border? They're the Democrats from like 2010 who are like, okay, yeah, we don't want this stuff at the border, like all the illegal crossings. What's happening? So now they are splitting hairs. It's a rhetorical battle. Whew. I'm telling you what. So, and then he also said, speaking of the border, audio soundbite 7. Let's hear this, because he also said this in his MSNBC interview.
Why are you ready to take executive action on the border?
Chopper,
because we need more forces on the border. I don't have the authority to do that.
So he doesn't have authority to do that, but he does. Actually, he does, because he had the authority to issue an executive order that undid Trump's executive orders, a handful of them, related to the border, related to staffing, related to resourcing, and further... I mean, he could demand that Democrats include actual enforcement mechanisms and also support for staffing related to enforcement at the border, should he choose to do so. And he doesn't. He won't do it. So he's been getting, I mean, whether he's getting pushback on the border, he's getting pushback on Hamas dealing with Gaza. And this is something I find interesting. I'm going to ask Stephen Yates about this. He's going to be on at the bottom of the hour with us. Because Hamas has said via reports that they are firm in their demands that they are only going to make an agreement with Israel if Israel meets these conditions. A comprehensive ceasefire, like the one they had October 6th that Hamas broke. A total withdrawal of IDF from Gaza. The return of displaced Palestinians, whatever the hell that means, distribution of humanitarian aid. Hamas took it the last time aid went over there. And reconstruction of the destroyed buildings. You mean the buildings that Israel gave to you that Hamas ended up destroying? And that you, Hamas destroyed them. Hamas destroyed their own buildings, and they want Israel to rebuild the buildings they gave them for free. This is without offering to release any hostages, including American hostages, which Biden didn't mention at the State of the Union, including American hostages. There was a guest. It was a mother of one of the hostages that's being held in Gaza who was at the State of the Union that wasn't even acknowledged by the administration at all. pretty amazing. Whenever Hamas refuses to do something, Biden always increases the pressure on Israel instead of Hamas. And now we're paying to send aid to Gaza that Hamas will receive. CENTCOM, let me pull this up. We're still funding this. They're holding American hostages. And we're sending them aid. Hamas still runs Gaza. That's the elected government, popularly elected in 2006. So popular, they had to suspend elections in the West Bank because Hamas was going to be elected in West Bank also. So they dropped aid packages. Apparently, they killed some people dropping the packages. Yeah. CBS reported two boys were killed, 11 others injured because they were dropping packages. Apparently, a chute didn't open. I don't know. One parachute didn't open. And we're giving tax dollars to help perpetuate Hamas's aggression. We are prolonging Hamas's aggression by now giving them aid. And if you for one second think that this is somehow going to innocent people, you are high as Hunter Biden. Hamas runs, they are the health ministry. People who don't know anything about the area and who know as much about this conflict and the history preceding it as Joe Biden and Democrats and the gun control lobby know about guns, they think things like this. We're prolonging it by sending, they still have American hostages and we're sending them aid. I would say there's no negotiation without hostage release. Hamas could end this right now by releasing the hostages. I don't know how many times this has to be said before people understand it. They could end it now just by releasing the hostages, which include babies, and they refuse to do so. They are in no position to negotiate. I say more fire. But we're paying for this. CENTCOM had they put a post out on X showing how they are en route to the Eastern Mediterranean less than 36 hours, actually fewer than 36 hours after Biden announced the U.S. would provide humanitarian assistance, et cetera, et cetera. And they're showing everybody loading stuff up. I mean, so, and why we're doing, I'm just amazed. They're going to establish a temporary pier to, they said, deliver these supplies. I mean, isn't there a port in Rafah? Yeah. Outside they have a place where you, I don't know why they wouldn't go there, but okay. All right. Anyway, guess it's going to do it the hard way, I guess. So that's what we're still funding. I want to switch, speaking of being of funding things. Can we talk for a moment about the Republican response to the State of the Union? I don't understand how Katie Britt was so angry over Biden's policies that Republicans continued to fund. Because the omnibus passed, I was looking at some of that. We're going to dive into this more tomorrow. Biden released the $7.3 trillion budget. We have another CR that was kicked through. We're still, this is just so goofy. They funded all of this stuff. I don't understand how you can be so angry when you're still funding this stuff. And I said just really quickly about the Republican response to all of this, because after I get it, they put her in her kitchen, which I thought was eerily clean. And I get it. They wanted to showcase. They're trying to do a couple of things. They're playing identity politics, which is stupid. So that's why they picked a woman, because it was like around International Women's Day or whatever BS nonsense that is. And they picked a chick They wanted to put her in a kitchen, not because a woman in the kitchen. They were trying to simulate, you know, the kitchen table conversations. I get why they did it, but it just goes to show you how tone deaf people are, especially if you're trying to reach out to people who can be swayed by the whole woman in the kitchen stupid nonsense, because that's exactly what they're going to see. The whole thing was a nightmare. I don't know who staged it. I don't know who planned it. It was stupid. I don't know who wrote it. It was so over the top that I felt like I was watching like, a telenova. I felt like I was watching like Days of Our Lives or something like that. Like Stefano was going to come out from under the kitchen table. Kane, what do you like? You got to say it.
Damn Stefano.
But I made the remark that the GOP, their response should not come off like a commercial for Midol. I mean, I was surprised that they didn't have like one of the Sarah McLachlan Sad Puppy songs start and have that thrown in. I mean, this is not difficult, right? I mean, this is not a difficult thing to do. All you have to do is talk about the positive solutions that you have, and this is where they messed up. It is so easy to complain about the problem. But voters are looking for a positive solution. They're not looking for just simply bitching. They want positive solutions. What are you going to do differently? And I tell you, this is what makes the aforementioned Midol response look even worse, because they literally just voted to keep funding this stuff. How are you so mad about it when you literally voted to keep funding it? That's what I don't get. It is problematic, not just for that, but it's very easy to sell freedom and to sell better policies. And that's where they fell short. I feel like they really fell short of that. Did you watch the response, Kane? Did you watch it?
I didn't. I didn't watch hardly any of the State of the Union, to be honest with you, because I knew that we were going to be doing clips and things and we were going to find out what was happening. Yeah. And I didn't watch the response either. I didn't, because you know, in years past where we get that information early on and we're like, oh, this is what the response is going to be. We even know what the speech will be about earlier. With the Katie Britt one, I don't think we really had any like lead time on that.
Yeah.
Too much.
The whole thing I thought was just, it made Marco Rubio having to go get a drink of water like less bad. Another quick thing about the RNC, I know we got to get moving. The RNC chairs, now we have Blair Trump, who's a co-chair with Michael Whatley. So I don't know. I mean, I just hope they don't forget about down ticket races, because it doesn't mean anything if you lose the House and Senate. You can't do everything by executive order.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Here's the headline. Wall Street Journal. Sneaky drivers are dodging toll cameras and costing authorities millions. Costing you millions? This is some word salad nonsense. Costs authorities. Kane, what do you have to say to that? Costs authorities.
You don't want my
Would we? I don't want to have to use my get out of jail free card with Brennan Carr. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's, you know what, dodging toll cameras. How do you even dodge? Let me tell you something. Texas DPS needs to get their stuff in order, because the toll thing that you pay for, they keep sending me stuff from my toll. I'm like, I have a toll tag. I don't owe you a dime. I have a toll tag.
They take $1.25 every month, no matter what, whether you use it or not. That's what they do.
And they're like, oh, we see that you went through this toll. Look, I have a toll tag. Stop it. Stop it. Morons. All right. Surge pricing is coming to more menus near you. Yay, thanks, Joe Biden. They're trying to, restaurants are looking at experimenting with tech that can move prices up and down based on demand and staffing. They're trying to figure out how to offset their costs, because everything is so ridiculously expensive. People expect businesses to eat the cost of their vote. You voted for this stuff. You don't get a free ride off the back of a business because you voted to make it more expensive for them to do the business. There's such an economic illiteracy. Kangaroo stampede. I know. I did not have that on my bingo card. Apparently, it's interrupting golf games in Australia. Like actual stampedes of kangaroos. Is it a stampede if they're hopping?
I think so.
Okay, they've been disrupting games at the Heritage Golf and Country Club. There's video. It's hysterical. Stephen Yates joins us next. Stay with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You were caught on a hot mic after your State of the Union address talking to Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Senator Michael Bennett saying, quote, I told him, BB, and don't repeat this, but you and I are going to have a come to Jesus meeting. What do you mean by that?
What I meant was, it's an expression used in the southern part of my state, meaning a serious meeting. And it was,
it's a serious meeting. It's, you know, famous amongst the Delawarean dialect, you know, come to Jesus meeting. We're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. I really wanted, you know, that reporter, and I'll give him credit for asking these tough questions, wanted to go. So what were you asking a Jewish prime minister about having to come to, is this, if this was Trump, they would be going, he's threatening to baptize Bibi. That's what they would be doing. I promise that's what they would be doing. All right. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this third hour, our very good friend, Stephen Yates, who is the senior fellow at the America First Policy Institute and chair of the China Policy Initiative as well. He joins us. And I've immediately got to get your reaction to this, my good friend. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Dana. Always serving up the best words from our very eloquent president. Some of the words apparently he means, and some of the words he apparently doesn't mean.
Because you've never heard this saying before. Being from Idaho and living in Florida, this is you're not from Southern Delaware, so you've never heard this.
Yeah, I don't know. Last I checked, the name Jesus was mentioned like 2,000 plus years ago and has rattled around every quarter of this planet ever since. And I'm one of those people that celebrates that. I don't know what he thought he was trying to say, but apparently in Southern Delaware or wherever he says he's from or thinks he was from, they don't use the words legal and illegal the same way the rest of us do.
True.
And when we're going to talk to, say, the Muslim world or the only Jewish state on the planet, we don't actually joke about having a come to Jesus meeting. And I don't know, this just strikes me as just exhibit number 1,000 or 1 million of, does anyone really love this man and tell him, you think you're funny, but you're not. You got to lay off the jokes when you're president of the United States.
Especially when they don't make sense because you're like barely sentient. I mean, it's difficult. Talking with our friends.
Not working.
Our friend Stephen Yates, you can find him on X at YatesComs. So we're funding. I got a few things I want to cover with you, but we're funding this aid going to Hamas in Gaza because they still run Gaza. Hamas is demanding that a bunch of stuff, including the release of what they say displaced Palestinians, whatever that means, a whole bunch. They've not offered to release any hostages or do anything else. But whenever Hamas refuses to negotiate, the pressure is always turned up, but not on Hamas. It's turned up on Israel. That's what the Biden administration does. I don't know what they think they're going to accomplish by this. What your thoughts on the way they're handling this?
Well, this has been maddening and insulting from the get-go. I mean, there were people who, right after this absolute horrific travesty occurred, were trying to do kind of whataboutism or moral equivalence on both sides. There just is nothing like what Hamas and others did to just murder, rape, and terrorize the Israeli people at that terrible day. And so there's really been only down from there, people sinking into this. I personally think that day, as it should have before, killed any idea of having a two-state solution. You can't have some kind of a political settlement without security, and you can't have security when you have hostages still being held. And so This isn't picking a president or a party. This is basic stuff. Yeah. And I don't know why it's hard for this administration. It shouldn't be hard for the United States of America across the board. We have our citizens still held hostage there. It's not a tough choice, but somehow people twist themselves into pretzels. And I have no idea why the president feels he has the authority to go open up a pier to give aid to a group that is governed by those who perpetuated this attack, but somehow doesn't have the authority to secure our border.
Yeah. You mentioned two very important things where they still have hostages, American hostages. We're sending them aid. Hamas still runs stuff. They took the last bunch of aid that was sent over. But this port that we are now, and CENTCOM was tweeting out or posting on X pictures of all the preparations they have to create this temporary, dock outside of Gaza, completely unprotected if Hamas chooses to attack, because we are essentially supplying the enemy of an ally. Are we also expecting the ally to protect us as we supply the enemy? Because I think that the IDF kind of has their hands full.
Well, we also tried to lecture that ally that he has to agree to some kind of a ceasefire because of a religious tenet that obviously isn't even honored by the people who perpetuated this attack. I don't think they can justify in their theology what they did. And so this is just buying into what I consider to be an evil, false narrative. And American foreign policy can't afford to be governed by that. We make plenty of mistakes because we're well-intentioned Americans and sometimes not well-intentioned Americans. We can't afford to indulge in this kind of stuff, though. Yeah. This is tiptoeing into a war, alienating and hurting an ally in an already unsettled region with Iran just sitting there saying, thank you very much. Yeah. It's maddening.
And why are we, and you know, with your knowledge about this area, maybe you can shed some light on this. Why are we putting this temporary dock port, whatever it is, outside of Gaza? Why don't we just scooch it down south, you know, scooch it down right underneath, you know, maybe towards Egypt, and then go on land there and then go through the Rafah crossing? Why don't we do that?
Yeah, apparently we have done almost nothing to use leverage, pressure, or anything else to have Egypt or other neighbors have to participate in this, which is, I think, a violation of one of the better tenets of recent past foreign policy, which was that neighbors and partners and allies closest to the problem have to be full partners and have to carry their own weight. Otherwise, the United States is not going to overspend and overextend itself into another conflict. That, I think, is something that is a correct way to think about what's happening around the world, and it is being deliberately violated with these actions. But Egypt has not been put in a position of pressure to be a part of a peace process. There was a time, even under Jimmy Carter, who I didn't have the highest regard for in terms of intellect and policy, even he worked with Egypt to try to address peace in that troubled region. Now we're just going straight to the terrorists.
After he created the problem in the region. At least, you know, he was able to get Egypt to work with him a little bit. Talking with our good friend Stephen Yates. I know that they were a part of, I think it was Egypt, Jordan, and I thought there was another Arab nation, in dropping aid into Gaza with parachutes. Apparently one of them didn't open and hurt 11 people, killed two. I mean, but isn't this, this seems like an Arab League issue. I would just think if you want people there to get aid that Hamas is going to take anyway and not distribute, then you all handle it. Arab League handles it. If you're not going to take the refugees, then you can handle the aid.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, anybody that is holding our hostages, they don't get aid.
Yeah.
Does anyone really believe they know where this aid is going? That
it's
going to be accountability.
It's only civilians. Hamas, you know, the poor civilians that elected Hamas and then we're going to elect them again.
It's magically we'll know exactly where it will go. And if it goes to unclean hands, it will self-immolate.
Right.
And so there's a problem of just the reality of the terrorists that did this haven't been extinguished, haven't been controlled. The people that have put them in a position of influence, that have given them safe harbor, they're the ones that have to exterminate this problem, get it out of their borders. If they do that, then America has always been generous under humanitarian circumstances, but we should definitely have their neighbors who have been fellow travelers in this cause that they've argued for, they should be at the front line in terms of money and other kinds of meaningful assistance. But as long as there's hostages being held, and as long as you're trying to buy the narrative that it's because Israel has fought back that there's a humanitarian problem, then you've already ceded this battle space, because this happened because of Iran and their proxy terrorists and a lot of establishment thinking that empowered the terrorists to have a governing role in this society. That's what caused this. And so if you're just giving aid and you're taking the assumption that, oh, this has only happened because Israel has fought back and is fighting back too hard, that's a lie. And I just don't think we should be participating, much less funding a lie.
That's, I think, a fantastic point. Our friend Stephen Yates at Yates Comms. I wanted to ask you really quickly, too, kind of shifting focus maybe to the other part of the world, the AI arms race. That's just a terrifying phrase that I don't like reading or even speaking aloud, like it'll just manifest it into existence, what's already in existence. Yahoo had this story about the fight over control of AI. Now you have the United States and China competing with everything from designing the hardware and software, obviously programming it. We were just talking, you know, we talked recently on the program about the CRT DEI woke already baked into a lot of the programming for AI, which results in the Google image stuff that we've seen. But while the U.S. is kind of leading at the moment, developing these language models, China's not far behind. What does this mean? I feel like this is like the latest Mission Impossible movie where it really is like AI and war games. But now it's like China and the United States. None of this forecasts anything good.
Well, number one, we will have no chance unless we get out of our own way. We have done so much to put ourselves in a bad position. First and foremost, making our supply chains overly dependent on the power that has said out loud for a long time that it seeks to harm and overcome us. And then the other thing that we're doing is our institutions that should put us in a place to compete and overcome any of these challenges, and we still have the ability to do so, whether it's the military, the universities, the tech world, they have been destroying our ability to allow meritocracy, to allow the best of the best to come to the top, to create the world's greatest solutions at greatest speed in order to be able to do this. I think we'll get kind of slapped in the face or punched in the jaw, whatever the right analogy is, and maybe people will come to their senses. I just think, heaven, there's been some disclosure on the AI front lately so that people know it's not a joke. Trillions of dollars have been poured into this in the United States, making us dumber, making us less competitive. And if we don't stop that, of course, the Chinese, who have no ethics on this under the Communist Party, will race ahead of us. We have to stop funding them,
TikTok.
And we have to get ourselves straightened out.
Yeah, like with the TikTok stuff. We actually have Brendan Carr on tomorrow to talk. But I mean,
he's excellent.
They're going after shareholders. If a shareholder makes a disparaging statement, excuse me, about TikTok, their entire holdings can be seized by the Chinese government.
What an amazing case study of making the claim that the Select Committee on Strategic Competition with the Chinese Communist Party made when you look at how TikTok and its lobbyists have responded. This is straight out of the textbook of a foreign-influenced political operation. And so this is exactly what people were saying the threat of TikTok was. And in response, they seem to be daring the Congress to go ahead and ban them when the Congress isn't even proposing to ban them. They're just saying you have to break with the CCP. You got to fall out of love with a genocidal regime that wants to hurt you and happens to also poison our children. So, I mean, this shouldn't be a hard case to make. I am really disappointed in a number of political leaders that can't see the difference between divestiture from an evil, aggressive foreign regime and a First Amendment that doesn't protect said evil foreign regimes. Yeah. And we got to get that simple stuff right, too, if we're going to overcome this technical and media and social media challenge.
Gosh, this is just our world's in a mess. Stephen Yates, always grateful for you being involved in all this. At Yates Comms on X, and you can follow America First Policy Institute at A1, number one policy. Thank you so much, my friend. Always good to see you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
Of course. You too.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
I'd love to come over and make amends. You know, I've always felt you were the best candidate. I think you're fantastic. You know, people that were with the Sanctimonious, they were with other people. Well, I'm not going to use that name anymore. It's not respectful. Let's call him Ron DeSantis.
Oh, my gosh. Stop. Stop, 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 stop. Okay, we got to focus on one thing and one thing only. You have to win in 2024 and also not forget about down ticket races. This is not going to do it. This is not going to do it. Stop. Just stop that. Someone make him stop. And to also stop posting about the quote unquote vaccine. Please stop posting about it. Oh my gosh. Don't get mad at me for bringing it up. Get mad because it's being done. Oh my gosh. I mean, do you want to win in 24 or not? Stop it. Like this, do I have time for this real fast? Like the one that you were telling me about, 32. We have time for that. We literally have that many audio cuts. This is like, do this instead.
Two nights ago, we all heard Crooked Joe's angry, dark, hate-filled rant of a State of the Union address. Wasn't it? Didn't it bring us together? Remember, I'm going to bring the country to together. I'm going to bring it together. No, no. He's a threat to democracy.
So see, do that. Don't. It's very easy. It's very easy. All right, today in Stupidity King.
All right, it is cut 26. We don't have time to play it, but this is Schumer who's refusing to condemn Menendez. If you're wondering how a two-tier justice system worked, just look up Peter Navarro, how he got treated, and when he's going to prison, and how Bob Menendez is treated.
Gold
Completely
bar Bob.
Two different things.
Yeah, and there you go, folks. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter, and Verse. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe as well. It is good to be back. And, of course, I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow. FCC's Brendan Carr will join us. We got to talk about some TikTok and China stuff. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.